He maketh me to lie down. Yeah, you're fighting for what you should be fighting against. He maketh you to lie down. You're being careful when God told you to be holy. Yeah, he has to make you lie down.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad that you're with us today as we begin a message called For His Name's Sake. And we've been, for the past number of days, looking at Psalm 23. We continue that look today. And Pastor, one of the things that caught my attention here is that you're being careful when God told you to be holy. What's the difference there? Because I think some of us may think, well, I'm trying to be holy, so I'm being careful. And if I'm careful, I will be holy.
Well, the impetus of careful has to be with when we're doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. So they say, okay, you know, if you can't keep yourself pure, be careful. You know, and so that little phrase, how many people in our audience has that phrase going around in their community or in their set of friends, but it's a phrase that's used quite a bit among the culture of my young people.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, where their parents are actually even telling them, now, I don't want you to be involved in sex, but if you do, be careful.
Right.
I don't want you doing such and such, but if you do, be careful. You know, no. He never called us to be careful.
Yeah.
He called us to be holy.
Totally makes sense now.
You know, Steve,
in a world of difference.
You ask some very intelligent questions, my brother. and you need to know in our listening audience, this is not rehearsed. Ad hoc. We don't get together and say, what should we say? We just have a conversation. And he just right always on point.
Well, I don't know about that,
but
thank
question.
You. Well, I've got time to throw one quick little question out here. He maketh me lie down. That's what we're looking at today.
Right.
You're saying that very often God forces or causes us to do things.
Has to, because sometimes we're stuck on stupid and we will work ourselves to death or we'll be lazy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes God has to do some things to redirect us.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it to make us bitter. He does it to make us better. And I've had plenty of those make me lie down situations where once I was down, God was saying, now you can hear my voice.
Yeah.
You had too much activity.
Yeah. I think anyone who's walked with Christ for a long time can relate to that. But right now, we'd love for you to open your Bible to Psalm 23 as we begin a message called For His Name's Sake. Here's Pastor Ford.
It was called the Miracle on the Hudson. How many remember it? You saw the picture. How many saw Sully? Okay, amen. But you know the story. U.S. Airways Flight 1549, January 15th, 2009, after takeoff, ran into a flock of Canadian geese, lost all of their engines. Yet all 115 people on board were safe. They survived. Something that, as you saw in the movie, if they'd have turned around and went back, they might have landed on the tarmac, but probably would have crashed, and many of them would not have survived. And we know it was all really because of one man. One man that they say, out of all of the U.S. Airways pilots, was perfect for the catastrophe that happened. He was perfect because he had flown over 20,000 hours and had more flight time than any other pilot that flew for U.S. Airways at that time. As a matter of fact, when you look at his pedigree, for 7 years, he had flown F-14 Phantom jets in Vietnam. Seven, of course, for 7 years is God's number for perfection. I don't know if there's any connection, but I had to bring that out. Not only that, but Chesley Sullenberger was perfect for what happened because he was the top pilot and a flight leader and a training officer. But not just any kind of training officer. He was a training officer who would teach our fighter pilots how to interact in air warfare. As a matter of fact, he was the chairman and on the board of the Airline Safety Committee. So anytime there was a crash, he was one of the ones who led the investigation and talked about how it could have been avoided. Here's his top qualification, Brother Watkins. He also flew glider planes. That's planes that don't have engines, for those of you who are challenged. In other words, this was the perfect man for what took place, and he turned a catastrophe into triumph because he was the perfect man for the job. Everything that they needed to be able to land safely and for everybody to be saved. Okay, I don't even have to make that analogy. He was the man who had it, and you and I have such a man, don't we? David said that there was such a man. He said, listen, I have a Sully. But his name is Yahweh, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Everything I need is found in one person. His name is Yahweh. He's qualified because he's omnipotent. That is, he has all power. So what he did was he spoke to the nothing that was and brought about everything that is. Hebrews 11:3, by the word of his mouth, he said, light be and light was. And so he just spoke it. He doesn't have some power. He didn't have most power. He has all power. He's qualified for the job, but he's also omnipresent. That means he is in time. At all time, every time that God left himself where he was to take himself while he was going to get himself where he already was. Yeah. And so he is omniscient. That means he knows everything, that he's never matriculated. God never said, oops. God never said, I didn't know that. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? David said he's qualified because he's my shepherd. And he says, when the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need. Walk with me through this text. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leads me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's discipline. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security forever. That's eternity. Everything we need is found in the Lord that is our shepherd, Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. In him we move and live and have our being. And apart from him, we can do nothing. And we've been talking about him. And we looked at the general summary. We looked at the bold declaration, the balanced decision, all of that. And we begin to say, if you don't get anything out of this, I want you to come out with this, that we're called sheep, and sheep are dumb, sheep are dependent, sheep are defenseless, sheep are dirty, and sheep are directionless. And our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, gives us everything. Sheep are what? Dumb. So it's not a compliment when he calls us sheep. They're dumb. So what does he give us for our stupidity when we're stuck on stupid? It's called grace. Grace is when God gives us what we do not deserve. Is there anybody in here this morning walked in? Know that this last week, you ain't live up to your name, Christian. This last week, you ain't done everything you're supposed to do, but you walked in here today looking good, being fed, clothed, sat down, got up, gave God some praise. Why? Grace. grace that's greater than all. I just came from Colorado Springs. I got up and I said, I'm from the great city of Chicago, where there's more grace in Chicago than there is in Colorado Springs. And they just looked at me and I said, let me tell you why. Because the Bible says where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And we got more sin because we have more people, but we got more grace because we got more sin. His grace is sufficient for you and for me. We seek, we don't. And so he gives us all of that. And now where are we now? We're directionless. So he guides us.
Yes.
Twice. He leadeth. He leadeth. Now I'm coming back next week and break down both of those because they're two different Hebrew words. And they mean two different things. But I'll let it go right now. But what you have to see now. So he gives us what we saw last week. Restoration. He restoreth my soul. He sets a broken bone. You can backslide all you want. He coming to get you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you are. And some of us know. If I were to take the roll right now, like I did last week, and just say, if he got you in this place, stand up. If I say, how many to get out of whorehouse? Ain't nobody going to stand up on that one. I know. But that's all right. How many to get out of crack house? Some will stand up. Amen. How many did he get out of the frat house? Some people got to stand up because you was an alpha or a Q dog, or and then you found out that the best sign to have is the cross. Yeah. And so what happens? Notice now, rest and restoration. Now, he maketh me. I missed that. I went back. I said, oh, no, I can't skip that. Even though it's out of order, I already went to 3B and it's in 3A. He maketh me to lie down. Now, get this. David understands something. As a shepherd, what would happen is his sheep would start grazing early in the morning because grazing in the grass is a gas. Can you dig it? And around about 10 o'clock, their bellies would be full of undigested grass. And so they have to be made to lay down. Why? Because their digestion takes place better when they're at rest. You'll get this on the way home.
Well, we'll get back to that in just a moment. You're listening to Treasured Truth with Pastor Ford, a message called For His Name's Sake. You know, we really do value your partnership and letting us know that this radio program is making a difference in your walk with Christ. And there are a few different ways that you can share that with us. You can always come to the website, click on the contact link, and let us know that this radio program means something to you. But another way, tangible way, that you can show that you value Pastor Ford's teaching is to make a gift, because that is how this broadcast really is sustained. It's through your generosity that we're able to cover production costs and airtime and things that happen behind the scenes. So if you're benefiting from listening, would you come to treasuretruthradio.org, look for the link that says make a donation, and there you can give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift. Again, that's at treasuretruthradio.org and make a donation. Let's get back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
As a matter of fact, one source that I referenced said this: it has been proven that their wool grows thicker longer in that rest period than any other period of their life, that they develop and grow when they're at rest better than any other time. So it's a critical time for sheep. Their wool grows faster, their bodies grow stronger during the quiet time. But sheep are like children on Christmas Eve. They don't want to lie down. Oh, some of y'all remember that. I don't know about you, but I lived in projects. I was raised on welfare in the projects. And I had played with all my toys before Christmas got there. Mom would call herself hiding them. As a matter of fact, finally, Mama realized some of these things are open. And here's what she would do. She would go over to her best friend's house and take our toys over there and bring their toys over to our house. Just so we would know what we got. But then, you know, they would tell, you know, Charles would tell me what I got, and I would tell Charles what he got. And you know, when you wake up on Christmas and you already know what you're going to get, it wasn't a surprise.
Right.
And then I began to realize, you know, we do that. I mean, there's some things that shouldn't be opened prematurely, but we open them prematurely. Then when it's really time to enjoy them, like on the honeymoon night, ain't no fizz. Because we didn't had it. And we. Oh, okay, okay, that's all right. All I got to say is this. Me and my wife got married May 22nd, 1971. And our first boy was born September 15, 1971. Now, I know what you're saying. That's only 5.5 months. And that's what I tell everybody. I never knew that preemies could be 9.7 pounds. It's a miracle. In only 5.5 months. Yeah. And so what's going on here? They don't like to lay down. So he has to make them. I submit to you, guess what now? I told them at 8 o'clock, but I said, I'll just put it in my sermon so I can go ahead and just roll on. Last week, Friday and Saturday, I got on a plane early Friday morning. I flew to Cleveland. I spoke 3 times and then got back here so I could be here on Sunday morning. This week, I left Wednesday, my sugar baby and I, and went to Colorado Springs where the air is so thin that when I was preaching, I had to stop and take a breath during one of my runs. Amen. They was clapping, but I wasn't done. I just had to catch my breath. And so we were, it was just a whirlwind. It was a major conference, and I was one of the keynote speakers, and on it goes, and we were just boom, 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 and it was like we were having fits. Then we came in last night. We got in, and my daughter picked us up at 9 o'clock at the airport. We didn't get home until about 10:30, and then I had to leave my house and go to University of Chicago because Sister Bibb was getting ready to be taken off of life support. And so my wife was upset. You've been gone all week. You was gone last week. Then you're going to come back. And we got marriage Monday. And then you got the radio station on Tuesday. And then you got Bible study morning and evening on Wednesday. And then Thursday the radio. And Thursday night, my guys. And I was preaching this message this morning. And it hit me. This for you, fool. Because if you keep messing around, I'm going to have to make you lie down. Yeah, you running here, running there, preaching there, on the plane one day, back the Sunday next day. Wife say, take it easy, don't do that. Get somebody else to preach. No!
Come on, man.
And I said, you know what? Oh, yeah, I'm going to lay down.
Amen.
Before he maketh me. And some of you know what I'm talking about, because he had to make you lie down. Yeah, he had to make you lie down, because you're moving forward and you're progressive and you got your business. You're going for your education and you're burning candles at both ends. You're getting up early in the morning with the eagles and you're hanging out with the owls at night. And he said, you are somebody who says to yourself, I'm trying to move forward. And he said, I got to make you move over. He maketh me to lie down. Yeah, you're fighting for what you should be fighting against. He maketh you to lie down. You're being careful when God told you to be holy. Yeah, he has to make you lie down because you was on a fixer brother plan. You know, you moved him from his mama's basement to your condo. And then you helped him get his GED. Then you helped him to get his teeth. Then you let him use your car and drive you to work. And sometimes the joker would say he forgot to pick you up and burn up all your gas and you play your PlayStation 4 or whatever it is. And then you let him come to your table with nothing but an appetite. And God said, enough is it. I didn't give you all this blessing for you to fix a brother. Just like I gave you everything else, I can give you a man. They talking about, here's a scarcity of man, not in God's pantry. Amen. I've been waiting. Well, keep waiting. Keep waiting. God just testing you to see if you're going to wait for Mr. Right or you're going to settle for Mr. Right now. Yeah, sometimes God has to make us lie down. Yeah. He has to make us lie down. You're working like a Hebrew slave, burning candle at both ends. He has to make you lie down. Yeah, you make deep commitments to superficial people. He got to make you lie down. Yeah, yeah, he has to make you lie down. You pick up the phone instead of running to the throne. He has to make you lie down. Okay, I was watching Discovery Channel talking about giraffes. And it had this giraffe. I actually saw the giraffe giving birth to the baby. They showed it. But guess what? When that baby was born, she delivers the baby standing up. So the baby falls 8 feet. Boom! The bag burst. And there the baby is. And guess what she does? She doesn't say, oh my goodness, what, oh, my baby, and nurse it. She goes over and kicks it. Now, I can understand it. I got kids. But then she kicks it again. And then again, she keeps kicking it, and then it'll stand up. And guess what? When I saw it, she kicked it when it stood up. And it went up in the air and fell down. And I'm saying, what is going on here? You know, it kind of reminds me of that little joke where they talk about your mama, your mama so this and so that. So one guy said, your mama's so ugly that when you were born, the doctor slapped her. But anyway, and so I'm wondering, what's going on? And then the announcer says this, in the jungle where this baby giraffe was born, every morning the lion, the hyena, and the other predators get up. And they understand that they have to run fast if they want breakfast. Then he said, and this baby giraffe and all of the other animals that are prey wake up in the morning and realize they got to run fast if they don't want to be breakfast. And so the mother knows, hey, there are predators out here. And so she kicks it. Why? She's got to make it run. She's got to let it know this is not an easy life here, that it's not going to be all roses without thorns. It's not going to be, because all sunshine makes a desert. It's not always going to be nice. So I got to get you off and running right now, because ain't nobody going to give you anything. You got to take it. Ain't nobody going to give you anything. You got to take it.
You're listening to Treasured Truth from Pastor Ford, and really a helpful look at Psalm 23 today, a message called For His Name's Sake. And we're going to continue this teaching next time. You know, maybe as you've been listening to the program, something that Pastor Ford has been teaching on has helped you with a certain area of your life. Maybe it's helped strengthen your marriage or get your finances under control, or even you've come to know Jesus because of something that you've heard through this broadcast. Hey, we'd love to know your story. You can always give us your feedback and share with us how God is using Pastor Ford's teaching in your life. Just come to our website, treasuredtruthradio.org, click on the contact link, and let us know how God has used this program to bless your life. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org and click on contact. One other reason you might want to do that is if you have a question about something you've heard on the broadcast, you can always ask your question. We'll make sure that Pastor Ford sees those, and we just might be answering one of your questions on a future broadcast. So again, come to treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the contact link. Well, thanks for doing that and for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For our Bible teacher, Pastor James Ford Jr., I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.